And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Pope Francis and capital punishment. And then we are going to try and get to this story about an Islamic training camp that has been uncovered in New Mexico. According to the report, quote, heavily armed Muslim extremists arrested in New Mexico trained 11 children to commit school shootings. That is a very disturbing report. Now, we've been hearing stories for years about Islamic training camps in America. This is probably the most severe of them that I can recall, where, you know, across the board, all media that's reporting on this all seem to be saying the same thing, that the Muslims who were there were training these children to commit these school shootings. Very, very disturbing. And of course, does nothing to support the Democrats' narrative that America and the Trump administration should not be very, very careful about allowing Muslims to come into our country. Doesn't help their cause at all. It does, however, help the cause of the Trump administration, the Make America Great Again approach, and saying, listen, we've got to protect our country. That's really all this does. But let's go to the story on the death penalty and Pope Francis. Now, this is being reported on Front Page Mag. And here's the headline: on death penalty, Pope Francis rewrites the Bible. Pope Francis rewrites the Bible on the death penalty. Now, of course, Pope Francis is a well-known socialist. This has been said for years about him. He is a Marxist. He is a Jesuit. And one of the things that socialism is known for is coming up with excessive laws or excessive rights to protect the criminal element, to make it very, very difficult to prosecute criminals, and where to the point where what happens when the Marxists get into your system with this, they spend more time protecting the criminals than they do law-abiding citizens. And this is all, of course, part of developing agitation within a system, because they know that the people are going to be angry about this. Crime is going to increase. And because crime increases, therefore you have more and more legislation, which gives more and more power to the state, because you have to come up with more and more legislation to deal with a crime. You see what I'm saying? And so it allows them to crack down on things like gun control. I mean, the more criminals you have, the more crimes they commit with a firearm. Now the state can come in and say, well, look, we've got to put a stop to these crimes, etc. And so more gun control laws. So law-abiding citizens end up being the ones who really suffer the more crime you have. Well, one of the tactics that they employ in one country after another, in fact, I remember reading this years ago about Nelson Mandela in South Africa. One of the first things that he did, reportedly, was to put a ban on the death penalty, get rid of the death penalty. And of course, what that does is it removes the fear from the criminal element. Removes a lot of the fear from the criminal element, because if there's no death penalty, a criminal knows that there is nothing he can do that will cause him to be put to death. It doesn't matter what he does. No matter how horrible it is, the state is not going to execute him. All right, so let's look at this story. This is on Front Page Mag by Dennis Prager. And here's what it says, quote, last week, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis had changed the Catholic catechism after 2,000 years of teaching that a moral use of capital punishment for murder is consistent with Catholic teaching. The Pope announced that the catechism, the Church Fathers, and St. Thomas Aquinas, among other great Catholic theologians, were all wrong. And God and the Bible, they're wrong too. This is what the article says. Then it goes on to talk about Pope Francis, who's a product of Latin American liberation theology. Now remember, brethren, liberation theology was begun by a Dominican priest, Gustavo Gutierrez. Gustavo Gutierrez. Pretty sure that's his name. Yeah, Gustavo Gutierrez, he is the, says he's regarded as one of the founders of liberation theology. But if you look him up, yeah, Gustavo Gutierrez, a Peruvian philosopher, theologian, and Dominican priest. Now, why is that important? Because you have Gutierrez in the 20th century comes up with liberation theology. Back in the 19th century, it is Luigi Taparelli, the Jesuit, who came up with the doctrine of social justice. Social justice. And social justice, once you understand it, he openly admitted that he based it on the teachings of Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican. Now, the Dominicans, as we show in our film, A Lamp in the Dark, they were the ones who began the Great Inquisition. And they ran the Inquisition for the first 300 years. Then it was picked up by the Jesuits, and the Jesuits ran it for the next 300 years. So here you have a priest from the Jesuit order and a priest from the Dominican order, and they have both been chiefly responsible for these very clever Marxist doctrines that are based, once you understand them, on the principles of the Inquisition. They've just been repackaged. Okay, and we talk about this. I talk about this at length in our audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism, Weapon of the Counter-Reformation. Okay, so here they are attributing to Pope Francis a product of, who's a Jesuit, and that he's a product of Latin American liberation theology, which is just its own brand of Marxism. And then it says that Pope Francis, quote, is remaking Catholicism in the image of leftism, just as mainstream Protestant leaders have been rendering much of mainstream Protestantism a branch of leftism. And then it goes on to talk about how the same thing is happening in among Jewish clergy and et cetera, and how leftism is really taking over in all of these different religious groups. So then it goes on to talk about how this is really contrary to the teachings of the Bible. Now, in the Bible, it says very, very clearly in Genesis chapter 9, this is shortly after Noah and his family get off the ark after the great flood. They get off the ark, and we read in Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, we read, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. All right, and then it goes on to say, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein, etc. Now, this is after the flood. The entire human race has been devastated and destroyed except for Noah and his family. So there are eight people on the earth. This is the beginning of the next generation of mankind. And one of the first things that God does is set forth the death penalty for murder. And the reason seems to be because in the old world, the antediluvian pre-flood world, violence, the earth was full of violence. And so it stands to reason that people were killing one another and whatnot. And so to regulate this, to restrain the violence upon the earth, God sets forth the death penalty. So that if a man is guilty of murder, he is to be put to death by his fellow men. Okay? And here's what's interesting. And I said, I've had debates with this on this in the past with other believers. And I think it's very important to understand what the scripture says and what it does not say on this issue, brethren. Notice that it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." It does not say, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, well, let them alone, and God will deal with them on judgment day." That's the way some believers think. They think that the capital punishment should not be carried out for murder because people should just be kept in a prison for the rest of their life and this kind of thing, and possibly they're going to repent, etc. But remember, the scripture says in Job that the sword comes, judgment comes, so that men may know there is a judgment, meaning that they'll know there is a day of judgment, that there's a greater judgment beyond this life, the judgment of God. Think of the thief on the cross. He began the day with his fellow thief mocking Christ. But as death drew near, he repented. And he said to his fellow thief, "Do you not fear God even in death?" He realized he was going to die. And so God has given the death penalty for a reason. It's to restrain the powers of evil upon the earth, but also to put the fear of God in the hearts of men, because by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Men are brought to repentance because they have a fear of God. All right, so this is what's at stake. But now Pope Francis is calling for an international ban on the death penalty. I've been reading about this for a while. There's another article out there where there's a Catholic priest of some kind is saying that he wished Judge Scalia, the late Judge Antonin Scalia, who was a supporter of the death penalty. And there's an article, you can find it on a number of news sites. They had it on Breitbart. A Chicago cardinal, quote, "I wish Justice Scalia lived to see Pope outlaw death penalty." That's Cardinal Blaise Kupich, the Archbishop of Chicago. And Scalia had apparently said, yeah, he obviously disagreed with Scalia, and he thought maybe Scalia would change his mind on the death penalty if he had heard Pope Francis oppose it. But Scalia had said, quote, "Indeed, it seems to me that the more Christian a country is, the less likely it is to regard the death penalty as immoral," Scalia wrote. "Abolition has taken its firmest hold in post-Christian Europe and has least support in the church-going United States. I attribute that to the fact that for the believing Christian, death is no big deal." Okay, that was what Judge Antonin Scalia said. That was his view, that the more Christian a country is, the more likely they will support the death penalty. Now, of course, the reason why, one, we have it in the Bible, have it in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we are going to continue our conversation, and we're going to talk more about this issue right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about Pope Francis, the death penalty. And in 2015, according to this Front Page Mag article, Pope Francis wrote, quote, "Today, capital punishment is unacceptable, however serious the condemned's crime may have been." That's what Pope Francis has said. Now, he's saying it's unacceptable, but to whom is it unacceptable? By what authority? See, this is the whole problem with the papacy. And this is what, following the papacy rather than following the word of God. And thankfully, there are many Catholics who are not checking their brain at the door on issues like this. And they are looking to the Bible rather than to the Pope. But, I would say to Catholics who are not in that camp, they're not in the biblical camp, what do you do if the Pope tells you that you have to accept something like gay marriage? What do you do? You see, this is the whole problem with the Catholic system. The Catholic system channels all the power into the hands of Rome and the papacy. It's the Pope, the College of Cardinals, etc., and they decide pretty much everything. So then especially right now, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Rome and with the papacy going forward, but for Catholics, what are they going to do if the Pope and the Holy See officially approve of something like gay marriage? What are they going to do if they officially declare that Islam is somehow or other the true religion? Now, you've got this Monsignor down there in Italy saying he wants to turn all the churches into mosques. You see, this is the problem. And this is where Catholics really need to consider what they believe. And why you know, because the point that you'd be brought to, I mean, now if you're Catholic and you say, well, if the Pope and the Holy See said Islam's a true religion, I would have nothing to do with it, etc. Okay, well, now, my Catholic friend, you are being introduced to the thinking of the great Protestant Reformation. Because the Reformers did not look to church tradition. They looked to the Bible. They looked to the Word of God. And they said with the apostles, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's this is one of these issues here where the Pope is openly disagreeing with the commandments of God. Openly disagreeing with God's commands. Okay? And Pope Francis said, let's see, according to this article, the death penalty, Francis wrote, entails cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. Cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. Now, I mean, basically saying that God has set forth cruel and degrading and inhumane treatment? God is inhumane? I mean, what about hell? Think about that. What about hell? Where you've got the rich man from Luke chapter 16, he's suffering there in the flames of hell, and he asks Abraham to send Lazarus to bring him some water, and Abraham says, no, he can't do that because nobody can cross over from where Abraham and Lazarus are to where the rich man is suffering in hell, Hades. Is this cruel and unusual punishment? The idea that the wicked have to be treated somehow or other, you know, that wicked men who are murderers, have to be coddled and all this other kind of stuff is really not biblical. It's just not a biblical view. There is such a thing as a false mercy and counterfeit compassion. And we find it throughout the scripture. We find it in the Old Testament when King Ahab refused to put Ben-Hadad to death. And Ben-Hadad and his servants, they played on the idea that the kings of Israel were merciful kings. So they got Ahab to exercise counterfeit compassion and to let Ben-Hadad go. Well, God condemned him for it. God said, your life will go for his life and your people for his people because you've let go out of your hand one whom the Lord had appointed for destruction. Even in the New Testament, James tells us, they shall have judgment without mercy who have shown no mercy. A ruler, a government, has a responsibility to exercise the judgments of God, to reward those that do good and to punish those that practice evil. This is why Paul says in Romans 13, if you do that which is evil, you ought to fear, for he bears not the sword in vain, meaning the state, the powers of government. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath against those who practice evil. So, the idea of bearing the sword, he bears not the sword in vain. This has to do with right of the sword, brethren. This has to do with the right, the power that God gives to government to carry out the death penalty against those who are wicked, those who cross the line and do something worthy of death, whatever that may be. So now the Pope here, on behalf of international socialism and international communism, is calling for the abolishment of the death penalty. Now, why exactly the Pope is doing this? Why? Because I can only imagine this is something the Jesuits want. Why they're doing this now, why they're calling for this at a global level, I don't know. It could have something to do with a sort of roundabout method to go after the right to bear arms. That could be the case, because if you do some research on the internet, you'll find more and more this argument is surfacing. They're saying that if you're a homeowner and somebody breaks into your house, that you should not have the right to shoot that person and kill them, even if you and your family are in danger, that you should not have the right to do that. Because, and I've heard two arguments now. One, somebody argued that if you do that, you're denying the thief his right of due process to get a fair trial in a court of law, that if you shoot him and kill him, then you're denying him due process of law. That's one argument. The other argument is that if somebody broke into your house as a thief and then they were arrested and they went to court, the punishment from a judge would not be the death penalty because all he did was break into your house and steal something or whatever. And so because that would not be his punishment in court, therefore you, as a homeowner, should not be allowed to defend yourself and your family with lethal force. Those are the two arguments that I've heard. And this has been happening in other countries where they're denying the right of self-defense. This is happening in the UK. It's happening across Western Europe, where if you do anything to defend yourself, because look at what they're doing. They're flooding these countries with all of these violent, hostile Muslim migrants who are committing all of these crimes. And they're committing violent crimes. And at the same time, they're trying to weaken and effeminize the men and the societies in the Western world so that they won't fight back. That, I believe, is the globalist tactic. And I think that probably has something to do, although, you know, I'm going to have to watch the situation and see what happens going forward and see where the Pope and where the Vatican and then the rest of the world goes with this whole idea. But this is something the Pope has been talking about for some time, the idea of abolishing the death penalty globally. But we know that the scripture tells us that the death penalty is given. God says over and over and over again, the death penalty is given, and God says, so shall you put away evil from among yourselves. That's how God's people put away evil. You've got evildoers who are practicing certain things, typically murder, but there are other crimes as well, that when they're put to death, so this is how you put away evil in your society. And statistics show that when the death penalty is carried out, it has a very powerful and dramatic impact on the criminal element. There's usually a dramatic decrease in crime as a result. And I believe it's because the fear of God, honestly, comes upon people and they depart from evil behavior. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.